Well, thank you, Leah, very much. I think we'll be in heaven a long time trying to understand the love of God, won't we? Brother Cruz was leading us in that, and then her song fit right into it. And what a mystery that he would die for us. Amen. 2 Peter tonight, for a few minutes, I want you to look in chapter 1. A few familiar verses, 2 Peter chapter 1. Talk to you a little bit tonight about promises kept. We know what a promise is. You know, as kids, I hate to say it, but a lot of kids know what broken promises are, don't they? And it often breaks their heart. And it breaks the hearts of parents sometimes because they promise too quick and they can't keep them. I mean, that's part of the human race. That's part of the old flesh that we have to deal with. Y'all excuse me on this throat clear, and I just got to keep on trying till finally I hit a spot I can live with. Amen. Anyway, good thing is God's promises are always kept. Amen. Look at it here in chapter 1, 2 Peter. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That verse will be our text tonight. Great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue to virtue knowledge. And from about verse 5 on down through about verse 8, it's basically saying what our character ought to be if we know the Lord. And the part I want to deal with here a little bit and just remind us a little bit tonight is verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, promises are broken pretty easy by some. I think about the wife that was complaining to the preacher in the counseling meeting. She said, John here told me when he asked me to marry him, he promised me that he was not good enough for me. And he's been keeping that promise ever since. And some promises we wish maybe were not kept. But God's promises are wonderful. You know, broken ones hurt. You know what the Indians said about the white man? They said he speaks with a split tongue. You ever hear that on the Lone Ranger show or Shoot 'Em Up somewhere? White man speaks with split tongue. Well, the Indian's right. He certainly does. And that describes our day pretty good. We're in a split-tongue day, if I've ever seen one. I look around in Florida. Right now, they're trying to deceive us into saying, oh, we just want the marijuana for medical purposes. That's a lie. That's a lie, I guarantee. Oh, we're just, you know, just a doctor's prescription. Oh, no. It's bad enough to meet the drunks on the road, especially during Christmas time, but now we're going to meet the stoneheads out there too, the dope heads. You don't know. I mean, it's an amazing thing, the lies that are told, especially politically. Gambling in Florida, you know, the lottery was supposed to solve the money problem for the schools, but instead they keep raising taxes to pay the school bills, don't they? Lies is what it amounts to. Now they're wanting casinos. And gambling, I mean, you say, well, is gambling wrong? Sure it is. Somebody's got to lose for somebody to win. Some kids going to miss a place to sleep, a place to eat, because the gambling addiction is pretty bad. Did you notice when they, especially now, you don't see it so much now, but especially when they come out with the lottery thing, and you go down the highway, the interstate, and there's a billboard about play the lottery. A mile down the road, it says, Do you have a gambling addiction? Call this number. Split tongue, man. Broken promises, lies. We've been seeing that in the news. I mean, we've been hearing about the nicknamed Obamacare, and you won't lose your policy. You can keep your policy if you like it. Anybody watch the news besides me? Amen. I mean, we're talking about national promises being broken. We're talking about local promises being broken. We're talking about foreign promises. I mean, what in the world are we doing over in Iran cutting a deal with them when they are holding American hostages over there right now? They got an American-born pastor over there, put him in jail for 11 years for nothing more than being a Christian. American-born now. And then North Korea, how about that? Did you see in the news where they took the 85-year-old veteran of the Korean War off the plane out of a tourist group that was going to, and had been in North Korea? They've taken him off, they've kept him, and in the paper today, they were making him sign a confession. And they still aren't promising to release him. You know what we're gonna do though? We're gonna give him more tax money. That's extortion, that's blackmail. That's where it amounts to. We Americans know something about broken promises. From our own government to us, and we look around and see the stupidity. And by the way, Israel knows something about broken promises. We are stabbing them in the back. We are backing them into the corner where they are going to have to defend themselves to strike Iran, and then all the nations, just like the Bible says, is going to gather against them. And the national opinion will go against them in that time. We're seeing stupid stuff today. By the way, Brother Nixon's up there, and he was telling a little bit the other morning at bus breakfast. He's been over dealing with the Army service and preaching to them over there. And you're seeing it all the time in the news. The Army has become under attack from the inside. Not talking about the outward enemy. I'm talking about from the inside. Right out at Fort Hood, where the so-called Arab shot everybody up out there, and they wouldn't call it terrorism, they called it work violence, workplace violence. Right out there, they had a meeting, a briefing for the Army to tell them that the Tea Party and the Christians were terrorists. Briefing our own soldiers against us. You look at me like that couldn't be true, but it is. One of the soldiers got rebuked and disciplined because at a party he served Chick-fil-A. Now, don't that blow your mind? Now, you remember the hassle over Chick-fil-A not long ago because they wouldn't, they found out that the man that owned it was a Christian, and he was, they said he was anti-gay. Well, you can't hardly be a Christian and believe the Bible without being anti-gay. Help yourself. But anyway, the soldier couldn't serve Chick-fil-A without that being wrong. That's sick, folks. I mean sick, sick, sick. Well, I saw in the article in the Ledger today, did you see it? Said Americans have lost their trust. Well, I wonder why. I mean, a duh right there. Say, well, they don't even trust each other. You better not anymore unless you know, folks. Every time you answer that telephone, every time you, some of you folks plugged into your computer, you better watch out. Amen. We've had enough promises broken. Just send us your information and you get your health policy. No, everybody else gets your information. That's what it boils down to. The Ledger today, talking about Americans no longer trust each other. Well, I got news for you. We have got to the place that we are gun-shy. We are afraid. We don't know who's telling the truth anymore. And that's why, my friend, and especially you parents raising kids, you better know what circles they're running in. You better know who they're talking to after you go to sleep at night, especially on the net. Amen? Well, I want to say this. Thank God the opposite of what I've just been saying is true with God. While we look around and see broken promises everywhere we look today, from the national level right on right on down, I'm glad God's never broken a promise spoken. Amen. I want you to consider that with me a little bit tonight. Let me say this to begin with. God has made some promises he's going to keep. He is keeping. He's promised, number one, to save the seeker. I want to say this. Any honest man that comes trying to find God, God will find a way for him to know him. I believe that with all my heart. You know, man is told in Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, that's what the prophet said. God spoke through the prophet and said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I mean, he can be found. He will be found for the honest seeker. He will, and he'll save the seeker. That's his promise. You know, yet in the real sense, God is the seeker. We think we found God, and we look back in hindsight and found out he found us. Amen. And there's a real truth to that. Romans 3:11 says there's none that seeketh after God. Even though we're commanded to, we don't. And yet in God's grace and in God's goodness, he moves circumstances. And I believe, like in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius was praying, he was a man seeking after God. God sent Peter to give him the gospel. Remember the story? And God is good about that. He moves circumstances. I think about how I was reached. I really believe in my own way. I wanted more light. I wanted to know. I did not know, but I had in my heart, even from a kid, that the most important thing was to be right with God, and yet I saw myself getting further from him, knowing I had no hope. Knowing, and I thought, like so many folks, I thought, you know, here's the way it works. You do a stack of good deeds, you do a stack of bad deeds, and whichever one's the highest, that's the way you're going, and that's not true. But I mean, I remember wrestling with that, and you've heard me say that many times. But God said, there's a fellow that if I give him some more light, I believe he'll take it. And he gave me some more light. He sent a girl all the way from up from Michigan, of all things, to be a missionary to a country boy. And get him to go to church. And you know the story about that. But that was God maneuvering circumstances. She and I were somewhere, and we met a girl that I dated some, and we talked. And later on, Sonia said to me, she said, you know, except for various things that could have happened, you could have married her. And I said, well, the Lord knew I couldn't be but one blessing to one. And she said, that's not exactly what I had in mind. The truth of the matter is, God moved her to come down here and care enough to get me to go to church when I asked her for a date. Now that's where I got the light. Somebody says, well, you're nuts, you've been cracked. That's where the light got in. Amen. And God is in the business. He will save the seeker. And the truth is, men don't seek. They go their own way. They run from God until God catches them. And that's basically the way it happens with most of us. But you know, he'll never miss a one. Hebrews 7:25 says that he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Save to the uttermost. Somebody has said he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And we got evidence all over this building of that, starting with myself. I mean, somebody, and when I came here and started preaching after being saved a number of years and getting in the ministry, I had folks for a long time, and still occasionally, somebody go out the door and say, I never thought you could be a preacher. Well, neither did I. But that's God. That's God keeping a promise. Keeping a promise. And he's promised to save the seeker. Let me hurry on to say he's promised to keep the saved. You know, there's a lot of folks worry about that. I have folks come to me, and I'm amazed sometimes because they've been under good preaching many times, and they'll come try to present a situation, and I realize that they're worrying about, can I fall? Can I lose it? I'm glad to tell you, if you're ever genuinely saved, you'll always be saved. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. That's who my Savior is. Amen. He can keep me from falling. Amen. Better than that, he can present me faultless. Amen. Justified. Yeah. As though I never sinned. Amen. Man, I never got over that. That's the best thing I could possibly describe, and I describe it to you. You see, when folks worry and they don't have peace about this, they got a problem. Here's the problem. They don't really understand how they got saved to start with. They don't really understand the price that Jesus paid. They don't really understand the grace, and they still think some of it depends on them. It don't. He paid it all to him we owe. He promised to save the sick. He promised to keep the saved, and he will do that. Now you say, that means I can go out and live like the devil. You tell me that, and I'll tell you, you're probably not saved. You don't trick God. Amen. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you understand what Jesus did to save you and how he did it all, you didn't do any of it, and it all depends on him. It don't depend on you. And the truth is a lot of people don't get that. There's a lot of church members that don't understand what I just said. They still think that Jesus died for them, and they got to help him get them to heaven. Now, you ought to live clean. You ought to live right. You ought to avoid sin. You ought to fight against sin. You ought to do that out of gratitude to the one that paid the whole bill for you. Amen. But not to help him pay the bill. Right. Amen? Amen? He promised to keep the saved. Great peace comes from understanding the grace that you're saved. See, when you get saved, you get born again. You're never going to be unborn. You may sin and displease the Father, and he'll deal with you over that. But if you get born into the family of God, you're going to always be in the family of God. Amen. And he's going to love you and watch after you, and you're going to be his son, and he's going to care how you do live. And you should want to live to please him. I think about when I was pastoring in the country, first 3 years of my ministry, I would go over to the jail in Bushnell, Florida. It was a county seat up there, Sumter County. And I remember one Sunday afternoon I was in there, and they generally didn't have a lot of folks in there, but every now and then I'd be able to go and preach to somebody, or two or three at a time or something like that. So I went over one Sunday afternoon, and the sheriff told me, or the deputy that was on duty there, he said, well, there's just a young man back there. He said, you can go back there and talk to him if you want to. So I walked back there, and it was pretty hot. It was summertime, and they didn't have an air-conditioned jail and movies and all that they got in some places now. And he was pretty much stripped off except for his underclothes and laying on the cot. And I got over there, and I started trying to talk to him through the bars. And finally, he did get up off the cot, and he did finally come to the bars and really let me talk to him and give him the gospel and prayed with him, and I went to leave, and as I went around the corner where the young man could not see me, a lady stepped out right in front of me that I had not seen before, and she said, preacher, let me talk to you. She said, I'm his mother. She said, he don't know I'm here. Said I had to call the law to him because he was so bad that he was actually threatening and about to hurt his father and I. And she said, he done wrong. He's done so much wrong. And we had to call the law ourselves. How hard it was to do that, she said. But she said, preacher, I want you to know I still love him. Now here was a scene. The mother was hiding around the corner without the son knowing she was there, caring about it. I want to tell you something. That's human love. That's relationship, mother and son love. God's love's greater than that. Amen. Listen, he's around you all the time. He's near you all the time. He's not going to give up on you. And whatever you've done, he wants you to get right over it and to repent over it, return to him and get right. And the truth is, he's promised to keep the saved. And the truth is that you belong to him, you get born in the family, you're going to always be in the family. I'm glad he's going to keep that promise. He's also promised, though, to chastise or chasten his sons. Now you say, well, that's bad. Well, it's good in a sense. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks to us about that. It tells us over in chapter 12 that he chasteth every son whom he receiveth. Now, it also tells us here that if you're without chastening, you're not a son. Do you understand there's something good about a spanking? It tells you somebody loves you. Do you know the heathen don't spank their kids? Really? They don't love them that much. They don't care what they do. We've become a lot like the heathen. Even in our stupid laws in society, put you in jail over spanking a child. Yet the Bible says it's the right thing to do. That if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. The truth is today that God will chasten his sons. And if there's no chastening, there's no sonship. You know, early lessons I learned after I got saved was somebody cared about what I was doing. Somebody was either grieved or pleased. Now, have you ever learned that lesson? One of the biggest things that told me I was saved, I belonged to somebody else, I could not live the same way I had been living, was when I crossed certain lines, God got a hold of me. I remember I'd been only saved maybe 2 weeks. I was driving my race cars, and I was pretty busy on a schedule with it. And the devil, you know, he knows when you're a young convert and you don't know much Bible, and you he's gonna lie to you every way he can. And he was lying to me. He said things like this to me. He said, "Boy, you've been doing pretty good as a lost sinner out there. You've been winning a lot of races. Now you're going to win them all because you're a Christian." What a joke. But you know what? That played pretty well in my head. And I remember driving down from North Florida on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, a holiday race or whatever it was, and I had communicated with my crew, and they were going to bring the car, and I was going to meet them at the racetrack, and it was a big race, and I was driving down the road. I still remember where I stopped for a ham sandwich. I remember right where I stopped and what I ordered. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to do good today. I got into Orlando to the racetrack, and I got to wondering, where is my car? Where is my crew? And I got to seeing all the rest of the cars come in and everybody, and where is my crew? Have they had a flat tire? Hey, that's before cell phones. There was life before cell phones. And it got time for the race, and I had no car. I watched the races that day. I didn't even get in them. You know what? My crew made a mistake and took the car to the track in Tampa. You know what made it worse? They didn't have a driver. You know what made it worse? They found one. You know what made it worse? He'd done better than me. And the Lord started talking to me. He let me know that, no, sir, you do a little wrong here or there, I'll get you. And he will. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, but you ought to raise your hand, how many of you have been chastened by God and you knew it was God chastening you? Honest to God, you knew it was him? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. But the good side is, he's watching you. Amen. Like that mother watching that son, he's watching you. He knows about you, knows what you're doing, and you please him or you grieve him. You can certainly do that, and God has a way of letting you know. Chastening, it comes from being unfaithful after you're saved, yeah. God will give you light for you to live up to, and I believe God's as good as a parent. Certainly no better than that. That's an understatement. Better than any parent. But what parent will chasten a child without first telling him what to do right? God tells us. He gives us light. He tells us what's right. I have people come to me as a pastor. Pastor, is this right? Is this right? What did the Holy Spirit tell you? He spoke to you before you came to me. What you're trying to do is get an end run around him. You already know right and wrong. You already know enough Bible. If you've been to church much, you know right and wrong, and God's Spirit is speaking to you, and you don't want to obey, so you say, "Preacher, how about this?" And you try to put a stipulation on it, a qualification on it. We're all human. We've done that. Fellas, I don't know what your weakness is. My weakness is I still love them. I still like to look at old cars and mess with them, and Lord knows I'm too old for it now. I'm about to have to repent over it, I think, and quit. But truth is, there's been a time or two I wanted a car when I didn't need that car. Anybody ever, some of you men ever relate to that? How many ever bought a car, maybe even a brand new one, and 2 weeks later you wish you'd never seen the thing? Wish you had your old one back. Amen. We've all been there, haven't we? Sometimes God lets us get what we just keep on. We want it so bad, going to get it, and directly we get it right between the eyes. Yeah. God will teach us one way or the other, but he will chasten, and he's promised to chastise his sons. And some folks don't act like that there's anything to that, but it's very real. And for you and I that have been serving God, we can recognize it's real, and God even threatens in the book, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he's given instructions about the Lord's Supper. The church at Corinth was abusing that, and God was warning them about that. And finally he said, some of you are, because of this thing, you're doing this wrong because of it. Some of you are sickly. And he went on to say, and some of you sleep. Sleep for the Christian, he's talking about death. Do you believe God has ever taken out a believer before his time because he wouldn't listen and walk straight for the Lord? I believe that. I believe it happens maybe a little more than we think. But I believe it happens. Somebody says, well, I'm going to go to church down there. There's a bunch of hypocrites down there. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of fakers, and that's what the word hypocrite means, pretending to be one thing and actually being another and pretending to be something you're not. And that's in the church. That's on the job. That's in the business world. That's everywhere. But there is a lot of folks that are church members, but they're not saved. I wish that wasn't true, but it is true. And so when the lost world looks and says, okay, a bunch of hypocrites, they may be right in some cases, but that's nothing for them to hide behind, because they're going to have to answer to God for themselves. And oh yeah, I don't want to ever be accused of being a hypocrite. I may not live up to all the high standards I'd like to, but bless God, I'm a saved, born again sinner on my way to heaven, and God does spank me once in a while. It teaches me I belong to him. Amen. He promises to chasten his sons. I like this one. Another promise he's about to keep soon, I think. He's promising to come back for his servants. Oh yeah. You know, if you go to the last book in the Old Testament, book of Malachi, and you get to the last part of the chapter 3, and you read over there, and this is such a parallel to the end of the church age. Now, I know this is Old Testament, but there's a spiritual principle here and a truth here. And at the very last of chapter 3, it's only 4 chapters in Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, listen to it. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Listen to the next verse. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Watch verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Do you understand God's not fooled by anybody? He knows who serves him and who don't. He knows who's real and who's not. It's not what you say that makes the difference. It's what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Is he your Savior? Have you let him pay for your sins? Have you trusted him? Are you serving him? That's the important thing. You know, he promised to come again. In John 14, he said, if I go away, I will come again. Do you know today, even the unsaved know something's going on? I've had unsaved people. They've heard a little something. They've heard some preaching, or they've heard something, and they say, preacher, are things about to wind up? Are we about to come to the end? And I say, yes, I believe that. Listen, if I could stand up here tonight and tell you you had 5 minutes, It'd be something, wouldn't it? If I could tell you you had 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, or 5 years, that'd still be a short time. But Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He promised to come. He's going to keep that promise. He's going to keep it. You know, the scoffers are about to run out of time. Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse, and you and I are seeing that. We're hearing that in the news all the time, and time those about up. Had a man tell me this morning how the atheists has messed up a business, scaring some businessmen because they don't want to be, the businessmen don't want to offend the atheists, afraid it'll hurt their business. Now, if you're a Christian, that's ridiculous. I mean, the so-called professing atheists are a very small percentage. Most lost men don't profess to be atheists. They still believe there's a God. That don't save them. Bible says the devils believe and tremble. It don't save them. But they know there's a God. I knew there was a God from the time I was at least in the third grade on, though I wasn't saved. But we're in a day and time when you can't offend the gays, you can't offend the atheists, you can't offend this one and offend that one. But this book offends everybody that's not right with God. Amen. And you and I better not be ashamed of the Savior, because we're afraid we're going to offend some crowd like that. The scoffers, the evil men waxing worse and worse. By the way, you take an atheist and put him in the foxhole, he won't be an atheist long. Drop him in the middle of the ocean, tell him to swim home, he won't be an atheist long. Amen. I've seen one or two that when they got in the pinch, all of a sudden they started calling on God. I can't tell you those stories, they get too long, but I could. Tell you several of those that happened that way. Oh, I got to tell you one. Just got to tell you one. I'm doing all right. I got 5 minutes or so. Ladies, don't start putting your shoes on yet. Sometimes I close two or three times before I actually close. Amen. All right, I'm joking some with you. Old preacher in my church, first church I pastored in the country, back when the farming equipment was pretty rough. The old tractors had to be cranked by a hand crank. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that too deep a science for you? Had to get with a crooked handle like you're churning ice cream in the front of that thing, and you had to be careful with it because if it took a notion and backfired, it went the other way, and it'd wrap up your arm. And anyway, this old preacher was out there farming. He was driving his tractor around. His brother-in-law was trying to get his cranked, and it was hot. His brother-in-law claimed he didn't believe in God, claimed he was atheist. He probably didn't know what the word meant, but he said he didn't believe in God, and he had a foul mouth, and he was kind of bad reputation in the community, but he was out there trying to crank his tractor. And old preacher, Brother Sparkman was his name, he told me, he said, I'd drive my tractor around, make my trip, and he said he'd be cussing up a blue streak trying to crank that old tractor. Just cussing. He said, way directly, about the time I got close to him, that thing backfired, it wrapped up his arm and broke it. He said, I stopped my tractor, said I got him off the into my pickup truck, and I headed 25 miles to the doctor. And he's sitting there with his arm all broke up in my trunk. And he said, he's hurting bad. He said, every time I'd hit a bump, and he said, I'd hit some of them on purpose. He said, every time I'd hit a bump, he'd say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He said, directly, I looked over at him and said, who are you talking to over there? Are you blankety blank? Shut up. He said, I'd hit another bump. He'd say, Lord, have mercy. No, there's no such thing as atheist. Not when you put him in the pinch. Not when the pain gets great enough. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of fakers out there. You know why they want to claim to be an atheist? They're hoping there's no God. The Bible says the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. God calls him a fool. And he is a fool. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in the context of Hebrews 10, where the Lord talks about those that reject Christ as trampling on the blood when they reject Christ. Man, to face the living God after you've said no to the sacrifice he made in giving his son to shed his blood to die for our sins. He's promised to come back for his servants, but he's promised to punish the sinner. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 says, I will not at all acquit the wicked. Truth is that all sin will have to be paid for. It's either paid for on Jesus, or you try to pay for it throughout eternity in the fires of hell and never pay for it at all. That's a terrible thing to think about, isn't it? But it's the truth. I'm glad in the time of broken promises that we live in, God keeps his promises. And I'll say to you tonight, he can supply your need. He's promised to. Trust him with it. Best of all, he's promised to save your soul if you'll come trust it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, even on a night when we're down in attendance on a holiday weekend. Jesus Christ will accept you. He's promised to save you. He'll not break that promise if you'll come to him. From the president on down and the kings of this world, they break their promises all the time. But Jesus will never break his. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Isn't that